for a while, okay? Some of you weren't even aware of it, but we've been doing this, and we've been talking about each section of the mission statement. This is our mission as a church. This is what we focus on, and so it's really important that you understand what we do and why we're doing it. And we had different people preaching different parts of this. And the first part of our mission statement was we create opportunities. And guys, you do that so well. If you just understood how many times you've helped change people's lives just by being you, just by a kind word, a gentle touch, an understanding ear, gifts, all kinds of ways. I remember once I'm writing a book right now on the gospel, and one of the stories I'm telling was about a little girl. Her life at home was horrible. There was nothing good happening in her home. And she used to leave home every morning as early as she could just to get out of the chaos, right? And I remember this lady, a woman's telling me her story. Because I asked God to show her places when she had encountered Jesus. And she used to go to school early. And she was close to my age, I guess, or somewhere around that. And we used to have a milkman that went to the schools, remember, in the elementary schools. And they'd come up in the milk truck, and the milkman would unload all these little pints of milk. And if you had 3 cents, you could get a chocolate milk. That was a big if back when I was a kid. It was like, this was not always happening. Well, this little girl, when she was a little girl, she'd go to school, and I guess that milkman would see her. She'd always walk by his truck because she'd be there so early. She would come when he was there, 7 or something, and he would give her a pint of chocolate milk free every day. No explanation. Didn't want anything from her. He wouldn't say she was poor. He didn't know what her life was. He just, you know, that was the bright spot in her day that gave her the courage to get him to go to school for years. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know the opportunities you're creating for people every day. And it may just be your life, and you just may be a nice person. But I want to tell you, it's what we do. Create opportunities for people to encounter God. That man, that milkman was. And she didn't know his name. I don't know his name. He's probably gone to be with Jesus now. But he was a sign from the Lord for her that there is hope in this world, that maybe things can be better. And so then the next part we talked about was to encounter God. That's what we do. We create opportunities for people to encounter God. It's not about, you know, it seems so long we were so indoctrinated to think that it was about people buying into our indoctrination, our codes, our morals, or whatever. No, we exist not to make people like us, to make people like Him. They just need to encounter God. And when you encounter God, it's everything. I'm so glad we sang some songs, new songs about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, guys, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. I have to go. And Jesus left after the resurrection. After being resurrected from the dead, He left to go be with the Father so the Spirit could come. And we don't sing much about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is God. We have a 3-in-1 God. And the Holy Spirit is just with us. And He's who's with us all the time. And I was so glad we did that. So we want to create opportunities for people to encounter God, because it changes everything. It just changes the way I see. It changes the way I think. It changes my physical body. It changes my relationships. Encountering God is where all creativity comes from. It's from Him. It's from Him and through us into the world. And the last thing we talked about, I love this one, experience. Listen, y'all believe me now? I hit the podium. I'm so messed up. I was so messed up and still am that I couldn't live just with a God that I knew about. I had to experience Him. I had to. I heard about people experiencing God. And then when I would hear about them experiencing God, I would get this little bitty tiny thing inside of my heart, or, you know, that little chill bumps, or, you know, the feeling. But then I remember when I was, I'd been pastoring, I don't know, 15 years, when I finally experienced Him myself. And then I developed a deep, deep attraction to that experience. Well, Alan, you can't live by experiences. Read your Bible. It tells you about experiences with God. It's written words about humans' experience with divinity. And the whole purpose God saved us was so that we could experience Him and release His life on earth. That's why we're here. You experience Him, now people experience Him through you. But the key is Him. And that's what all it is. So we've been talking about that. Whoa. Y'all aren't looking at the vision statement. You're supposed to be. We're having all kinds of issues. Let me go back out. Y'all are good, right? VMix is on. It's up? Bam. Whoa! It is up. I wish y'all could see that as clearly as I can. There we go. Now, today we're starting the next part of our vision statement. Unconditional love. We have had continual problems with this thing. I don't know why. It's me. I think it's just me. Let me turn it over this way. Is that better? It is better. Y'all just don't pay any attention. I almost said something awkward. I won't. I'm not going to do that. I'm turning red. I feel like my face is turning red. I need to experience Jesus right now. Hi, family on the internet watching us from around the world. This is Grace Fellowship. My name's Harvey Boyd. I'm the senior pastor here. Who wants to see a miracle? Come on, Jesus. You know, I do. I want to see a miracle, but I want to experience one. And what we've been experiencing, what happens? You know what we encounter? You know what we experience? Unconditional love. That's His name. I remember a few years ago, a man came to me, a very successful guy, advanced in his profession, in all ways successful, you know. But he came to me and he's like, listen, I've got a drinking problem. He said, I'm an alcoholic, and it's catching up with me, and it's about to destroy my life. I've got to get free. I'm like, well, you know what? I know that there's a reason that you're an alcoholic. There's a reason. It's not because you want to be. It's not because it's in your genes. There's a reason. And I know that there's somewhere where that man was disconnected from the Lord, the experience of God that was causing his alcoholism. He had been fighting it for years. Years. 20 years. And so we began to pray, just asking the Lord, God, would you come and lead us? Just come lead us. Come lead us. Where is this? Why is this man an alcoholic and he can't quit? And it sure wasn't intelligence. He was way smarter than me, more disciplined than me. Very, very successful in the world guy. And so we just kept following feelings. You see, God's very faithful. He will expose why we're in bondage to things. Do you know that people do bad things, but people aren't bad? Sometimes we do bad things. Sometimes we do awful things. But do you know that we're not awful? You see, that man wasn't... Hello, my name's Bill and I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not. He was in bondage to alcoholism and it was destroying him. Did it affect his body? Oh, yeah. Did it affect his mind? Oh, yes. But he wasn't an alcoholic. If I would have believed he was an alcoholic, he'd still be one today. And spoiler alert, he's not. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we are following these feelings. And then we end up He grew up in a family that I would call rich, but you know, in our standard today, they weren't rich. They just had a really nice house, big house. They had, this is crazy, they had a stairway that was exposed, and in the upstairs, there was a balcony. You could actually look over the balcony down into the living area. That was like rich people had those when I was a kid. And so he's talking about that. Well, his mom and dad, they didn't get divorced or anything. They just fought. You know what I mean? Like, their world was all the time. Just all the time. If dad was home, if mom was home, there you just waited. It was happening. And what drove his alcoholism was a trigger. Anytime something touched this trigger, it would put him back into the pain and the bondage and the suffering that he went through as a little kid. Now, we found the triggers. We knew what was causing it. When people would disagree with him, when things wouldn't go right at work, when the traffic would get bad and cars would zoom all around, it's like all kinds of things would touch that pain in his heart. And guess what he used to dull his pain? Well, so we followed it one day, and so finally we end up back at this memory. And in this memory, he's go downstairs. His mom and dad are in the kitchen, and he walks in the door, and the explosion is there. Utter chaos, physical stuff. Everything you could imagine, just hell in that home. It was chaos. And he just covered his ears with his hands, and he ran up the stairs, and he sat down at the balcony. I guess they had little rails, and he's sitting behind those rails, and he's crying. And he's screaming for them to stop, and they won't stop, and they won't stop, and they won't stop. And it's killing that little boy, ripping his heart apart. And then, you know, I am a genius, so I asked Jesus to come. It's all him. That man is crying. That little boy is crying. The man's crying. And I don't know what to do. Well, guess what Jesus did? The man told me what was happening in his memory as he's thinking through that memory again. Jesus came up and sat beside him, and he put his arm around him. And chaos turned into peace. Nothing changed, but that man, the chaos was gone. And you know what happened? That trigger, that light switch, that button that you could push that would put him back into that place he had lived through his whole young years, wasn't there anymore. And you know, he got delivered from alcoholism. He quit drinking. Everything's good. You know, it's about his presence. You see, there's something inside of humans. I want to talk about something today. I want to talk about the thing that I believe is causing us to live in a lot of turmoil and stress. And I think racism, bigotry, hate, a lot of those things all come out of this one foundational thing in our world. And I want to talk about it today because I think we need to address this. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Where God is, there is order and peace. He is peace. He's unconditional love. And whenever God's presence comes, guess what comes? I mean, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to fall on us. And listen, I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit falls, yeah, sometimes you do cry. Sometimes you do this. But I'm going to tell you what happens is He brings peace to your broken heart. He brings peace to your broken body. He brings peace to your broken relationships. He brings peace into the chaos that we live in this world. Now, listen, when you go back to the beginning, you just see this everywhere God is, right? You know what cognitive dissonance is? Some really smart person discovered this. It's a psychiatrist, a doctor of psychiatry discovered it. There is something inside of us. You can read this. If we have contradictory beliefs, ideals, or values, if you have something arguing inside of your heart, you cannot rest until that comes to peace. We cannot live in that kind of chaos. Listen, God, there is nothing about chaos in God. Everything God does brings order, brings peace, brings love. And I'm telling you, God created us this way. You're like that, and I'm like that. And when you study the psychology behind it, that is such a strong thing in us that we'll create lies to make things make sense inside of us. And there's one thing in the church, in the body of Christ that we've been teaching that has created a dissonance, a cognitive dissonance inside of our hearts. And it's created room for hate. It's created room for judgment. And it's that thing that we believe from the very beginning that man was bad. Listen, man is not bad. He's good. He was never bad. And I want to show you in Scripture, it's like, we could spend hours on this. This is my whole life, but I'm telling you. In the beginning, go to Genesis 1:1, right? Study those chapters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. When God created all this, what was it? Chaos. But guess what? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You see, it was formless. It was empty. It was just chaos. And you know, then he talks about darkness. You know, in the Bible, darkness is talked about a lot of times. It's the lack of light. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Who's going to calm the storms in your life? Jesus. Who brings light into our darkness? Jesus. Always, God is the light. And so it's like, and who's the darkness? The fallen angel Satan. You see, what did God do when the enemy comes? What does God do? The light comes. And God said, let there be light. And then when you read this in Genesis, you'll find he said 8 times, and God said, and God said, and God said. But you know, something changed in the midst of all of this. You see, that's why I wanted us to sing that song. He does have the whole world in his hands. He's got me and you, brother. And sisters, in his hands. He's got old men and young men in his hands. He's got the good and the ugly in his hands. Pretty and the ugly. It's all there, you know. And look at this verse. I love this. Going back to Genesis. Then God said this, let us make a man and a woman. This is how the Passion Translation, I like the way he puts it. In our image. Okay, whose image were you made in? Is God bad? Is there anything bad in him? Are you bad? Now, we were taught we were. Most of us were. Now, maybe not you weren't, but most of us were taught that mankind is bad. Humans are bad. I want to ask you to think about that. Look at Scripture and find it. We're not bad. He created us and he shaped us with his image inside of us. His image, not anybody else's. So you go through that whole verse. Then I like the way he said it. In his own beautiful image. That's what's in you. Beauty. It's like God, it's like when he said that, that song we sang talked about the clay melting and God sculpting us. It's like literally God somehow supernaturally reached down and took clay and he's forming you. To this day, he's still forming you. He's putting pressure on the places that need to go in, and he's putting pressure on the places that need to come out. That's what's happening in your life. You're not bad. You're just being formed into his image. And that's what he does. And then God blessed them in his love. Reproduce and be fruitful. Populate the earth and subdue it. You see, God put us on earth to bring peace. To bring peace to every area. Every area God wants us to bring to rule and reign. And God gave us everything on earth and everything in the air. And they'll be our food. Then I love verse 31. It says, God surveyed all he had made. Okay, does that include you? Even if you're an alien, he made that space too. I don't believe in aliens, but if you are one, some of you make me, y'all challenge my belief system, but I think he made you. And God looked at everything he made and said, I love it. It pleased him. Then evening gave way to morning, the 6 days. Then there's another, in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Yahweh God scooped up a lump of soil and intentionally sculpted a man. You see, that's who we are. And then you guys know what happened, right? I'll just give you a very short version. You know what happened? Adam and Eve were in the garden. God gave them everything. He said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of how to judge yourself or judge other people. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of how to judge yourself or judge other people. Now, what we turned around and said, so what did Adam and Eve do? I mean, Eve did it. She still owes us. Women, you still owe us men for getting us into this mess. Eve ate from the tree of how to judge, and then we ate it too. Preach it, preach it. I don't know, I've light this house on fire. Right? We ate it. I can't really say it because we did. All of you men ate it too. And at that day, we began to judge ourselves. We saw we were lacking in our physical beauty. We saw we were lacking in all this stuff. And we decided that we were bad and we hid from God. And then somehow we turned that into a theory. It's just a theory that we were all taught that humans are depraved, that they're internally bad. You know what the Bible says? We were taken captive because we separated from our relationship with God. And whenever we stepped out from underneath God, the enemy came in and he became the god of this world that we lived in. So until Jesus died on the cross, every one of us, every human was a slave to Satan. Now that's the truth. And it brought chaos into the world. Disorder, darkness ruled and reigned in the earth until the time of Christ. Now, we were told we're bad and that God can't even look on sin. Because we were duped, both. We were tricked, fooled, deceived, lied to, sold a bill of goods that God was angry at us and hated us because of sin, and we were told that sin is stuff we do. We weren't told that sin is a break of relationship. We were never told that. We were never told that all God cared about was our relationship with Him because He's a good Father and He loves us. You know, and so what did God do in Genesis 3? As if He didn't know. Adam and Eve are hiding because they've judged themselves. I mean, they didn't just judge themselves. They judged each other and they judged Satan. You know, Adam, God said, what's up, Adam? Adam said, she did it. And then God said, what's up, Eve? And Eve said, well, he did it, the devil. It's like, no, they both did it themselves. But you see, we started judging everything. And then what did God say? This is a direct quote out of Scripture. Every version of the Bible has the same translation for this. He said, Adam, where are you? You can spend a lifetime looking at that, but plainly, he did not say, Adam, you are a dirty scumbag. He didn't say that. Adam, I hate you. My eternal wrath and vengeance has been stirred up inside of my heart against you, and I have to destroy you in eternal, total damnation, hell forever. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, where are you? Where are you, Adam? You know, isn't that what you would do? What do you do if you lose your pet? You know, this thing God put inside of us, we cannot stand it, but God put it inside of us. We can't judge. If you lost your pet, what do you do? I mean, if you're not me, but if you're you, if you lost your pet, what do? You go look for it. You put up signs. It's lost. Well, why don't you just go beat the living daylights out of it? Well, I tried that. They don't come home. They just stay away forever. I'm not talking about that, but it's true. Trust me. That is not what you do. You love that dumb animal. Sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but you love it. All it does is take from you. You feed it, you water it. Some of you are so well trained by your little puppies that I'm amazed. I think they may be the smartest animals on earth, actually. I'm like, you got this sweet. They don't even make you go to work. It's like, just stay home all the time. No, you love it because it's yours. God put that in you. How much more is that in Him? He loves you. He says that. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You know what God wants to do? Over and over again, Jesus said this. He said, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. They're lost. He wants you to come home. He doesn't have a whip waiting for you. He's not going to punish you. He wants you to come home. You know, over and over again, Jesus told these parables, the lost parables, right? This is how Jesus describes Himself and His Father. He said, listen, one of you had 100 sheep and loses one. Don't you leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until you find it? You're not bad. You're just lost. Now, somehow we define lost. I used to explain to people, listen, you're lost because you're dirty and decrepit and bad and there's nothing good in you. And God is angry at you. That's how I define lost. I'm like, where did I lose the definition for lost? I mean, lost has one definition. It means lost. Lost. You lose something. You know what this funny thing that happened with this guy, his sheep? When he found his one sheep, you know what he did? He threw a party and celebrated with his friends that he had found the love of his heart. You see, that's who God is. That's who we are. But do you know what happens? When we're taught that some people, that we're bad, that people are bad, then you know what you begin to do? There's no unconditional love in your heart. And we're going to talk about unconditional love a lot over the next few weeks. But I'm going to tell you, if you believe that people are bad, then you're going to segregate people by ethnicity, by education, by denomination. You're going to believe that people are bad because they do bad things. They were never bad. They're just lost. My friend was an alcoholic. He was the nicest guy you'd ever meet. He was in bondage. He was lost in that area of his life. And guess what happened? When him and Jesus came back together, life. It's in Jesus where life comes from. You know, I love this next. He told a lost coin, right? A lady had 10 silver coins and she loses one and she searches until she finds it. That's unconditional love. He doesn't judge. He doesn't put people in prison. She searched, and then when she found it, what did she do? She threw a party. I found my lost coin. In our world, we think she found the bad coin. No, it was a good coin. It was just lost. It's just lost. So I think this morning, every day, every time, there's always a reason. When I say that, if I'm lost, there's a reason I'm lost. And it's because somewhere Jesus and I have separated. And I just need to find Him. He's looking for me. I just need to go home. The lost sons, you guys know this parable, right? The two boys, the one boy, he demanded his share of the estate, and so the father divided his property. And y'all know what happened, right? Well, at the end of this story, the very end of the story, and you can go look at it. I guess I should be saying these scriptures. This all comes out of the same passage. There we go, Luke 15. Okay, back to where we were. In this passage, when you look at it, we're going to get that in a second. When he finishes, he said, my son, you were always with me. This is a son who stayed home. He was lost too. You see, you can be lost and be home. everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. No hint of how dirty he was, how bad he was. So do you know, I believe when we're looking at unconditional love, you and I find it hard to love people unconditionally because we've learned how to judge ourselves and we judge people too. And your mind will force you to make judgments about people. Oh, that race doesn't work hard. That race is not good with money. That race of people is not strong. They're quitters. This generation is not as good as that generation. We judge in all these ways. And the reality, there's only one thing that creates chaos in our darkness, in our world, and that's separation from God. And it's true for everyone. So any area in your life where you're messed up, where you're lost, where you're in bondage, it's because of somewhere you're separated from life. If that's true for you, it's true for everybody else. And so there's no judgment. There's no hierarchy. There's no elitism. There's no human on earth better than any other human. We're all just having different expressions of the life of God coming out of our lives or the lacking of that. So now I can't explain. I mean, you know, I don't know if y'all have watched Robert's behavior, but I can't explain his behavior because there's something bad inside of him, because there's not. He's good. Now, is he in bondage? Yeah, there's some areas where he's still in bondage. Is he still growing? Yeah, there's some areas he's still growing and attaching himself to the Lord. But I can't explain it by blaming what's in him for what's on him. Ooh, that was good. Y'all should write that down. That was good. I don't say many good things, but that was good. That was as good as a garlic milkshake. I can't blame you for what's in you because of what's on you, because you were created in God's image. And so quit judging yourself. Quit allowing the enemy to judge you. Quit judging people. Quit judging anybody. Because what's on you is because of not what's in you. It's because of your relationship with God or your lack of it. Well, Alan, they do awful things. I know that is awful, but they're not awful people. They're God's children that He loves. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He loves people. And you know who He leaves? He leaves those of us that are already hooked up with Him to go find the ones who are out there lost. And He doesn't think they're bad. Matter of fact, decide how valuable your neighbors are based on the value that Jesus paid for them. It'll change the way you see people. I love we did that song. God, this is His plan. So this morning, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to enter in on this journey with us. You know, Jesus, one day, this Mark 4 passage, you guys know this story. Jesus told His disciples, hey, it was getting dark. He said, let's go over to the other side of the sea, the other side of the lake, right? And while they're going, now Jesus told them, I've got an appointment over there, fellas. I'm supposed to meet somebody, a demoniac guy. I'm going over there. You guys get in the boat. Let's go over there. I've got an appointment. That's what Jesus said. Well, then this horrible storm came up. Now, the guys, you think by this time in their lives, they would believe Jesus. You know, you don't get what I'm saying, do you? How many of you got... My dad traveled when I was a kid. Dad, if you're listening to this, it's true. He traveled all the time. So he'd be gone Monday morning before I got up. He'd usually get home Friday nights after I was in bed. So Saturdays were this great day because I was a very active, independent little boy when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23 years old. And my mom learned pretty quick on that she couldn't spank me hard enough that it really mattered to me. So I do something almost every week. On Tuesday, rats, I stepped over the line, their line, right? She said, wait till your dad gets home. Do you know how many times I hoped she would forget to tell him? And do you know how many times she forgot? Ever. So listen, if my mama said she was telling my daddy, she was, you could just bank on it, right? Well, if Jesus said, I'm going to the other side of the lake and I have an appointment with somebody, was he going to make his appointment? You knew he was. Well, the guys got scared. They just got scared. And then they finally woke him up because he's sleeping because he knew he was going to the other side. He wasn't worried. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, quiet, be still. They didn't get it. The waves got it. The disciples didn't get it. Listen, do you have a storm in your life? It's not because of anything you've done. It's just about you need Him. That's the truth. And storms happen. But when Jesus shows up, the worst chaos in the world becomes peace. When Jesus shows up, the broken are healed. You see, what you need today is you need Him. You see, the guys, they thought they needed saving from the storm. They didn't need saving from the storm. They just needed Jesus in the boat. They didn't know that they had the answer before they had saw the answer. And a lot of us are begging God for stuff, blaming God for stuff. And the truth is, we just need Him. His presence. We just need an encounter with Him. We need to experience unconditional love. I remember my friend Shauna was, when she was first learning how to do seed digging, I didn't tell her it didn't work in a group setting. You know, I just decided not to tell her anything negative. So I said, I'm not telling her because she's going to try it. Because in therapy, they'd go to the schools and they would do group sessions with kids that have just behavioral problems, you know. And they'd get like 10 kids or 8 kids. And so Shauna, I get up there one week and she always gives me a report of what's going on during the week. She's been in one of the schools, elementary schools, and the 10 children, or I think it was 10 children that have, you know, they can't control them in the classroom. She's doing a group therapy session with them. And she can't say Jesus, so she calls Jesus unconditional love. That's cool. He doesn't care. He's not offended. And so she's doing this group session with these 10 kids. And these are kids who have, you know, these aren't like one-time disobedient kids. These are the kids that are, you know, having issues with their behavior. And she does a group session with them. And 8 out of the 10 kids have an encounter with unconditional love and are touched that day. And their lives change that day. 8 out of 10. Do you want your life to change? Him. Do you need joy? Him. Do you need freedom? Him. It's Him. This morning, come on up here, Patrick. Patrick is a musician, and he's going to make me sound good. And y'all are going to help me do something, okay? I want to sing that song again. That children's song Patrick did earlier. We're going to try to sing it. Patrick has to turn on his electronic devices, which I don't need to sing because I don't sound any better with them or without them. It makes me no difference. You see, I want you guys to stand up, if y'all don't mind. Let's stand up. So we're going to sing this song together. I say we're going to sing the song together.
He's got the whole world in His hands.
Keep playing, Patrick. You know what? He's got you in his hands. He's got whatever you need in his hands. If you're sick, he's got you. If you don't have life, if you're broken, he's got you. If you're suffering emotionally, addictions, he's got you in his hands. It's all about him. So this morning, I want to invite you to come and meet him. Maybe you have never, ever said, Jesus, you see, I've asked God, God, how do we present salvation? How do we get lost people saved if we don't tell them that they're dirty, rotten scum of the earth? How about this? You'll have no life without him. That's how you get saved, is him. It's about him. And I had this morning, we'll have to turn the guitar way down, I think. Marsha, you want to come up here? I want her to tell you, she sent us a prophetic word this morning. She had no idea it was a prophetic word for today. But I want Marsha to tell you what she saw.
Ooh. So the other night I had a dream, and in the dream I was helping to set a beautiful table in a great big banqueting hall. And it was real fancy setting, like it had this just beautiful china. It was real shiny white with like flowers, you know, on it. And then it had the gold edging on all the china and all the fancy forks. And, you know, I mean, the really fancy table. And I was helping to set it. And so when I woke up, I asked the Lord, I said, you know, we as a prophetic team have been getting words, visions, impressions, dreams about setting tables, you know, beautiful tables. Like for several months now, we've been getting these impressions and everything. And so I asked the Lord why. And he said, because I want people to feel that they're being invited to something beautiful, rather than feeling like they're being arrested.
Okay, amen, amen. Good word, Martha. You're not being arrested. We're not being arrested. We're being invited to a banquet. So if you've never chosen to make Jesus your Lord, your Savior, your life, today would be a good day. He's inviting you to a banquet. That's, you gotta hate this thing. Yeah, turn it off. So I believe that's true. Jesus is inviting you. So this morning, as we close, if you need him for anything, that's where life comes from. He is the light of the world. He'll bring peace, order, freedom to chaos for you. That's why he's here. So this morning, I just want to invite you to come, and we dismiss. There'll be people up here to pray with you. Anything you need Jesus for, we believe he'll come today. Amen. So Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that you're good news and that you're the light of the world. And that you've prepared a table for every single one of us. So we just thank you, God. Now let the Lord speak to you. So Jesus, would you reveal to each one of us that needs you this morning, that you want us to come and be prayed for today? Would you just reveal that to them, to each one of us, Lord? If you want us to come, if you want to meet us here today. Amen, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, ushers, and thank you, friends.